All right.
Check, 1, 2. Very good.
All right.
As we gather this morning, I welcome us all to this time in this place of worship. It is Palm Sunday, so things are moving a little bit differently than regularly. But just a warm welcome to everyone who's here. I thought maybe I won't do that from the back of the church because it'll be weird. If you're visiting with us, a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad you're here and gathered with us. If you are visiting, do let us know you've been here. We've got a guest book just outside the door of the sanctuary. Please sign that. We'd love to know that you've been here. There's a time of coffee and fellowship following the service. Everyone is welcome to come to that, so please join us. And if at the offering time of the service, I know sometimes visitors and guests don't know, aren't sure if they're supposed to. We don't ask our guests to give an offering. But if you would like to leave one, there are guest envelopes in the pews. Fill it out. Let us know you've been here. We'd love to send you a letter saying thanks for worshiping with us. As well, if you think that Cole Harbour Woodside would be a good place for you to live out your faith life, please see me. We'd love to have some conversation about that. So as we gather, I invite us to share together in the words of the acknowledgement of place. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. So we have a brief liturgy of the branches, and I'll give you a nod when you're to start, and all of you who are reading the drama can all gather around the pulpit. Okay? Good? All right. All right, are we ready? Good. Everybody can hear me whispering to the children. For the past 5 weeks of the season of Lent, we have been preparing. Preparing for this moment in the story of Jesus' journey. Now we are only 1 week from Easter. Today is what has been traditionally called Palm Sunday, but you won't hear about palms in the story from Matthew's Gospel today. The Gospel of John, written several years later, is the only one that says people waved palm branches for Jesus. Anyway, this is the day on which our tradition tells us Jesus entered Jerusalem just days before his death. So I invite you to reflect upon some of the feelings associated with Holy Week. And so, let's imagine we have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. We begin by listening again to Matthew's story, to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, his own city, to encourage the people to see and experience God in new ways.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat down on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting,
"Hosanna to the Son of David!
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest heaven.
When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was excited. Many on the side of the road were asking,
Who is this?
The crowd of Jesus' followers replied, saying,
This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.
Okay, you can have a seat. On this Palm Sunday, we light this candle, reminding us of our journey through Lent and preparing us to walk with Jesus. Our call to worship is in the order of service. We have come together as a community of faith. We have gathered to talk and to listen and to care for each other. Here we share a new covenant of promise and hope. Our fears melt into awe and wonder before God. Our failures become opportunities for learning.
So let us share and celebrate this life we live.
Let us pray together. Spirit of life, we gather grateful for the companionship of hearts and minds, speaking to speak the truth.
And then, we gather grateful for the gift of life itself.
Mindful but to respect life means both to celebrate what life is and insist on what it can become. May it be so. Amen. In our opening hymn, Hosanna Loud, Hosanna 123 in Voices Unite.
Cosmic Procession by Bruce Sanglin. God of galaxies and gerbils, and this gay great happening illimitably earth, with great hope and celebration, we join the procession of life en route to Jerusalem, honoring the Christ in Jesus as Alpha and Omega. The palm branches we throw down, the royal carpet for his passing, are our own lives, offered as hallelujahs that it has all come to this. 14 billion years it has taken to come to this one, arriving as servant through honored as king, as peasant through lord of compassion. No formal education, though born as wisdom, dormant in the stars, gestating in the pregnant earth, and through Mary, mother of God. What joy is ours as we take our place in the great procession of life, heralding and blessing this one who comes in your name and all who are coming, with a song of holiness on their lips and a yearning for wholeness in their hearts. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the one who comes in your name.
Thank you, Haley. And the children who were so good in our palm parade this morning would like to come forward. Oops. Forgot my rock. We're going to meet over here at our Lent centerpiece. So this is our last Sunday. Are you coming up? Is anyone coming up? Got a few? There we go. We got a few stragglers coming. There we go. So this is our last Sunday of Lent. It's Palm Sunday. That's why we did this Palm Parade. And we remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem and the crowds and the parades of people that came in with him. Have you ever been in a parade? No? Have you been like on a float? You've been on a float in a parade or walked in a parade? Oh, yeah? And what did they do in the parade? Uh-huh. Cool. A flag? Yeah? Cool. And what about you? So in Brownies, you were in the Remembrance Parade. That's really nice. Yeah. Anyone else been in a parade? Have you been in a parade on a float and waving? Yeah? You think you once walked in a parade? It's kind of cool to be in a parade. You wave. How about, have you gone and watched any of the parades? Yeah? Do you wave to the people who wave in you in the parade? Yeah? What kind of things happen in a parade? People walk. What else do you see in parades? Mm-hmm. You kind of cool stuff? What kind of cool stuff? Yeah. Oh, so you saw some cheerleaders in a parade and they were doing some of their stunts. Yeah. And floats. Do you like the floats, the things that they put in the parade? Yeah. And bands, marching bands. Yeah. And that sort of thing. And clowns. Sometimes there's clowns in parades and they do handstands and flips. And sometimes those people have those little cars and they drive around all over the place. Yeah. I walked in a parade once a few years ago in the town I lived in Kingston. We had a community parade and our church was a part of the parade and I got to walk in the parade and wave to people. And how do you feel when you see a parade? Excited? Yeah? Yeah? What else do you feel? You feel happy? Yeah, it's happy. You like the music sometimes that gets played? Well, on Palm Sunday, Jesus came into Jerusalem, the city, the big city where he lived, kind of like Halifax, and he was part of a parade. And as we read in the scriptures, the people, they were waving palm branches or branches from trees, and some people took their cloaks off or their coats off, and they laid them on the ground. So Jesus, who was riding on a donkey, the donkey walked over the cloaks. So that was kind of the way they had parades way back then. So today we sort of we remember that and we participate in that a little bit like we did with our palm parade this morning. So one of the things that Jesus was bringing when he came to Jerusalem was our last word on our rocks. And who knows, who can read that word for me? Can you read that word? Can you read that word? What does that word say? Hope. Jesus was bringing hope. In Jesus' time, people were having a rough time. And they didn't like the Romans who were there, who were ruling over them and not treating them very well. And Jesus, all throughout his life, talked about how God, when we live in God, God's rules are that we care for one another and we treat each other with respect and dignity. And so Jesus came and brought us hope. And that hope comes down to us even today. So that's great. So that's our last word. And so next Sunday when we gather, it'll be Easter Sunday. Yeah, so I hope to see you here then. So we're going to have a little prayer, and I'll say a bit and you can repeat after me. Thank you, God, for parades and gatherings of people. Thank you for our church and the ways in which we live hope as we follow Jesus' teachings. Amen. And our song this morning is "And on This Path." It's number 8 in More Voices.
Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did, and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself." He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. O God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our rock and our strength. Amen. So as I shared already, this Sunday, Palm Sunday, marks the last of the movements in the history that proved to bring the end of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. As Christians, this week is the foundation of our story. Our faith story finds its foundations in this week. As much as we would like to point to Advent, Christmas, and the season we so deeply enjoy as the point where Christianity begins, it's not entirely true. It is during Holy Week, it is during Holy Weekend that our story truly begins. For our Jewish brothers and sisters, it is the story of the Exodus that helps them to solidify who they are as a people of God and gives them a moment to point to and say, this is where we begin. For our Muslim brothers and sisters, it is the revelations of Allah to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that is the true moment of the birth of Islam. And for us as Christians, it is Holy Week that is the culmination of the birthing of our faith. We come to be Christian because of the events of Holy Week and the history that develops subsequent to the crucifixion and the resurrection. We need to always be looking at and finding a way into the story that is ours. We cannot simply let the story lay in front of us and passively receive it. It must become part of who we are and what our lives are to be. Like us, our Jewish sisters and brothers observe the Passover and retell the story each year as a way of making the story part of who they are. And for us, this yearly telling, this yearly engaging in Holy Week is our story, and it helps us to draw ourselves into it. And having dramatic readings and palm parades and full-on pageants help us to find our way into a story that is so ancient and yet so right in front of us and our faith. How do we in our modern age tell a story that moves along, that takes 7 days to tell? How do we engage in that in a world that is instantaneous in its desire? Instant messaging, tweets, emails, texts. All of those have moved our disseminating of information to lightning speed. So how do we take that story that is ours, that we live and that is who we are, and enter into that this week? The story goes that a fellow by the name of Steve Jobs, who ran a little company called Apple, I don't know if any of you have heard of it or not. Well, he was trying to recruit a fellow by the name of John Sculley. And he was the CEO of a little company called PepsiCo. I don't know if you've heard of that. Maybe you've heard that phrase, the Pepsi generation, every once in a while. Well, Jobs was having some issues convincing Sculley to make the jump from PepsiCo to join him at Apple, until he employed what is euphemistically called the elevator pitch. This is the story. An elevator pitch is a concise and positive, convincing strategy to bring someone to your way of thinking. And it happens in the time that it takes the average elevator to go between floors 1 and 2. So somewhere between 8 and 10 seconds. So Steve Jobs is reported to have gotten into an elevator after another unsuccessful meeting with Scully and turned to him. The two of them were in the elevator by themselves and turned to Scully. Steve Jobs turned to Scully and said, "Do you want to sell sugared water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?" Scully joined Jobs at Apple, and Apple sales went from $800 million to $8 billion in the 10 years that John Scully was at the helm of Apple. In their book, The Last Week, A Day-by-Day Account of Jesus' Final Week in Jerusalem, Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan offer a perspective on the events that we have come to call Holy Week. It's a perspective that's grounded in biblical scholarship and historical evidence. And as I was reading the events of the Palm Parade that they offered, a fascinating blending of these two elements and offered insights that we don't necessarily get to see in the biblical text because we only read one portion of the story a day. And each year we only read from one gospel. One of the things I found fascinating is the size of the city of Jerusalem at the time. Any guesses on how big the city of Jerusalem was in the first century of the Common Era? A population? Throw out a number, just a guess. A million? Anyone else got a guess? 25,000? 100,000? 2 million? We have this idea in our head that Jerusalem is this huge, huge city, and it's because we're influenced by things that we see. At the time, the population of Jerusalem would have fit into BMO Field in Toronto. That's where the Argos and the Toronto FC play. Jerusalem proper, the population was about 30,000 people. Pretty close there, Stu. So into the city, Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan come two parades. The first parade comes from the west, and it's a display of Roman imperial might. Probably 2,000 soldiers plus cavalry, marching and displaying Roman military might and Roman imperial theology, that Augustus Caesar is the Son of God, Lord and Savior. Those words sound familiar to you? And at the head of the parade, Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea and representative of the Son of God himself. You can imagine, you know, those Roman soldiers with their helmets, and we see in pictures those, you know, big plumes they have on their helmets, and the breastplates shined, and spears and swords, and the clanking and the neighing of horses. What a spectacle! And then, from the east, a much smaller parade, not of armor, shields, swords, and spears. And yet led by one who would soon be called Savior, Son of God, and Lord. But rather by everyday inhabitants of Jerusalem. I can't help but wonder if Jesus' parade was a show of anti-force. If the Roman parade was a show of force, to make sure there was no trouble during Passover, then perhaps Jesus' parade was a show of anti-force. A parade that mimicked and caricatured Pilate's parade. Nonetheless, this parade was a demonstration that God is God and Caesar is not. And in the decades that would follow, Jesus would be associated with the terms Son of God, Lord, and Savior, in direct opposition to the Roman Emperor, and we have, for the most part, held these terms ever since. Because if Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, as recounted by the Gospels, we hear time and time again the refrain that those people and the ideal of the world that are too insignificant for rulers are of great importance to God. That the message of Jesus is that true power, true authority, true peace comes from justice, equity, the care of those in need, the welcoming of the stranger. That the one who would lead must be servant as well. Roman might came by sword and spear, but might and strategy and sometimes law and justice for only those in the right areas of life. It was not for the poor. It was not for the slave. It was not for the foreigner. The empire of Rome and the empire of God stand in direct opposition to each other. It's a complex story. It takes us four Gospels and a number of letters of Paul and others to try and figure it out, and 2,000 years of theology to explain it. So how do we characterize the story of ours in such a way that we can remind ourselves and share its essence with one another? How do we take that story that we tell each year over the course of a week and make it relevant 2,000 years later? How do we, as people of faith, refresh ourselves and the world around us so that this story cries out for a way forward? How do we look at the show of violence and exclusion, of military might and brutality, and the degradation of the human person and rape of the planet? How will we stand in opposition to that? How will we join our voices with the power of justice and love and equity and peace? Marcus Borg and John Crossan characterize the events that we observe on Palm Sunday as a story of empires from two different points of view. So as I thought about that, I wondered if I might offer to you my elevator pitch for Christianity. Here goes. Do you want to give away your power in support of military might that rises and falls? Or do you want to participate in community life whose strength is upheld by justice that is never ending? What do you think? Not bad, not bad. Importantly for us, we are to struggle and wrestle with scriptures and with God, finding the way to truthfully tell in our hearts and in our souls the story of our faith. Each one of us must do that as much as we as a community must do it. And we think it's easy, but it's not. We live in the midst of empire. We live in the midst of society that is built upon those things that perhaps don't care for the least and the most vulnerable. We do our best, and we should not knock ourselves down, but there is always another place for us to grow into. We must struggle truthfully within our hearts and within our souls as we try and balance our way through the empire of God and the empire of Caesar. And in probably one of the most pointed questions that I wrestled with this week, Marcus Borg and John Crossan ask, not just of us, the reader or the hearer today, but of themselves as well, if we were there in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, at which parade would we find ourselves? at which parade would we find ourselves? The week begins, and so does the struggle. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our moment for mission and service.
You'll recognize this place. A heritage of welcome. Our gifts for mission and service support food, health, and wellness programs of ministry, like St. Paul's Family Resource Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We tend to think of food banks as something relatively new. This may be true in some places, but not in Halifax, where there is a long history of helping those who need support. For example, after the War of 1812, there were soup kitchens in downtown Halifax. Samuel Cunard, who founded the Cunard Steamship Company, at one time the largest steamship company in the world, worked at that soup kitchen. He and his wife, Susan, donated food and then served it to the hungry. This is a long way from modern food banks, although the need for food is still as great as it was back in the 19th century.
The Family Resource Center, which is an outreach ministry of St. Paul's United Church in Spryfield, Nova Scotia, offers more services than a food bank. Clients can sit at the food bank cafe and have coffee and a snack while waiting to pick up their order, rather than waiting out in the cold or rain. The center also offers a volunteer income tax service to those with limited income, and legal aid is often on hand to address concerns individuals may have. The food, fitness, and fun class is always being fine-tuned, and there are nursing students on hand to offer advice on health and nutrition. We are thankful for the many ways St. Paul's Family Resource Center offers a place of welcome and support to those who come through its doors. If mission and service is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join us in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
In that spirit, then, we present our gifts and our offerings. Thank you. Let us pray. For the gifts that we have and the gifts that we can share, for the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, all of these find their source in you, O God, our ground of being and strength. Bless that which we have brought here this day in our offering plates, those offered through par, those offered through the time that we offer and volunteer, and through the love that we share with one another. All of these things are our offerings each Sunday. May they be blessed as you are blessed, and may we be your blessing. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Janet, thank you. Announcements this morning. Oh, sorry, I jumped ahead. Prayers first. Look at the screen. Let us pray. Jesus, you who dared to live God's way, in the midst of all of the ups and downs of life, we too are called to proclaim our faith and live it faithfully by the way in which we meet and treat one another. Jesus, you who wanted his disciples to live passionate lives, justice-seeking lives, God-centered lives, we too are called upon to live in this way. Jesus, as a human face of God in the world, you who shared your life that others might have a sense of new signs of hope in their everyday lives, bring us to a place where we too might see your face, God's face, in the face of others, that we might know the humanity of each other, that we might live signs of hope in our lives. Jesus, you call us to listen, to learn, to follow, and to serve. In our sharing in prayer in this time, may we do this with hearts of compassion, and in the lives we live as our service concludes, may we carry that heart into your world. As Jesus was compassionate, so we too are called to be. As Jesus prayed, so we too pray, saying, Our Father, our weekly announcements. Quick rundown as people are coming forward of services for Holy Week this week. 9 o'clock each morning. Tomorrow at St. Vincent de Paul down here on the Parkway. Tuesday here at Cole Harbor Woodside. Wednesday, Iona Presbyterian. Thursday, St. John Fall River. or on the number 7 highway there, sorry. Friday, there is no ecumenical service in the community, but we are having a Good Friday service here at 8 o'clock in the evening, 8 to 8 p.m. Saturday morning is at Regal Heights. And then, of course, Sunday morning, we have our sunrise service at the Meeting House, and after which we have a potluck breakfast, to which everyone is welcome to attend, and then our 10:30 Easter Sunday communion service.
The choir is presenting our Palm Sunday cantata tonight at 7:30, so we hope to see you all there.
Announcement about dinner theater. I put the sheets out for donations for the 2 weekends. So if you are able to make a donation, there's one, weekend two, you can, whatever's more convenient, have them into the church hall on the Thursday. Second notice is for helpers. We need helpers on Friday at 1 o'clock to help prepare the vegetables. It's a pretty fun time. If you're able to or off those days, please come out. And the other one is on the first Sunday of dinner theater weekend. The sanctuary, of course, is not looking like this. It's tables. We have breakfast with Jesus. And there's another sheet out there if you're able to help us with donations on that. They're in the narthex under the window because the other table's pretty busy. Okay?
Hi. If you haven't already seen it, we have a bake sale in the hall, and the youth group has put it on. So it's yummy baked goods, and the money that we raise from the bake sale will help to send some of our youth to the intermediates at conference. And one other note, I just wanted to draw your attention to the prayer flags. We made that at Gather on Thursday, so it was a really fun time, and it's the whole story of Easter on one prayer flag. However, though, due to low turnout at both the Gather on Thursdays and the Families Connect events, I'm going to put those on hold for April and May, and maybe we'll reassess in June. So hopefully we'll see you guys coming out to those again. Thanks.
Good morning. We picked up the maple syrup yesterday, so we'll be out back. You can see Naomi and I, and we also ordered extras, so if you missed out, you can... We have some extra, like if you want some of the candies, there's some bottles, there's extra for there if you want to order as well. Thanks.
Hello, I'm not sure that you all are aware of the fact that the voyages coming forward on the Steelway are almost entirely booked. I think that you should know that on May the 5th in the afternoon we have arranged a final sailing, if you would, just a short little voyage out around the islands and back again. I, of course, have been given the responsibility of maintaining and assuring that the costs associated with said voyage are kept in line. I have to tell you that we have an amazing, amazing band that we're utilizing through the course of the other 5 voyages, that being, of course, on May the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, May the 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th, whatever the hell it is. at any rate, the costs are entirely covered for those voyages because we are sold out. However, this short little sale is in the afternoon on May the 5th, and it's not as yet sold out, and I'm having to account for the expense of this wonderful band that we have. I mean, the first officer and myself can manage, but Lookout Lou is going to be there as well. But the band costs money, so please tell your friends, come out on the afternoon, 2:30 on May the 5th, to Steelaway. Thank you.
Tough act to follow. As we prepare for our departure this morning from this time of worship, there is no benedictory song. The hope is that as we conclude, that this we will recognize that this is not the end of our worship, that our time together goes forward day by day through Holy Week until we can gather together again on any of those days, and particularly next Sunday morning. And so now the time has come for us to leave this sacred place. As we do, may we embrace the challenges of our lives and our world. Remember this, within us and all around us is God our source. May we return to our source, heed it, honor it, and follow. I invite us to stand for a word of blessing. Until we can be together again, the peace of this ancient earth to you, of the blue high heavens which embrace it, and the winds which blow over it freely, the peace of splintered light sparkling on fresh leaves sprung this day, gentle rain falling on waiting earth, the peace of star-jeweled skies and full-orbed moons, of breathless dawns and splendid setting suns. May these peace be with you, and the peace of the God of peace rest upon you. Amen.